Revelation 21 and verse 5. And he that sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I ask you that you would bless it tonight. Lord, that you would work in our hearts, Lord, a desire for the things that you can do in our lives and among us, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your mighty spirit and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're glad to have Glenn Clark and his family with us tonight. Appreciate them coming this evening. Here we see this scripture, which Revelation chapter 21, you know this is at the end of the book. There's quite a bit of conversation here about, it starts out there, the first few verses. First verse says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 2, a holy city, a new heaven prepared as a bride. And it discusses all the things that are going to take place. And it says God's going to wipe away all tears. It tells all the things that aren't going to be there. And then it turns from the conversation of an angel speaking with John to him that sat on the throne is about to speak. And he says, Behold, I make all things new. Write it down. I didn't look up this saying, but you know, you occasionally you talk about someone, you can trust their word. If he said it, you can write it down. If he said it, you can write it down. He told John, he said, write, this can be written. This is something that everybody, I make all things new. That's what I want to speak to you tonight. I make all things new. We've got a new baby. Aren't new things great? New paint. Do you like new paint? Yeah, we like new paint. We like new shoes. I like new school years. Fresh start. A new car, and it doesn't have to be, you know, not pre-owned. We don't know what new cars are. But a new car, new things are great. New things are wonderful to have. I got some new beans this year to plant. I found a guy in Berea. You know, but his new beans, they're new to me, but they're heirloom beans. They're not beans that have been commercially produced. And so I was doing those for a while, and so, you know, Brother Taylor's not here tonight, but we try to become farmers sometimes. And so an heirloom, it's a new bean. It's supposed to be a white half runner that's supposed to be better, and we're just going to see if it is. They sure did come up pretty. But new, this word here, it says that I make all things new. And it's not necessarily talking about new as in something that is newly created. But it's talking about, it's not necessarily new in time, but it's new in form. It's new in its quality. It's new in its nature, contrasted with that it used to be. But it's new. And, you know, this is the springtime of the year, and we're talking about gardening that a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, everything was still brown. A few weeks ago, the trees were just brown limbs hanging. A few weeks ago, the flowers were not visible. You could drive up Interstate 75 and you could see every contour of the rock and the ground, because there was nothing that was hid, because you could see through the limbs of those trees. It was bare, it was brown, it was lifeless. But in this springtime, all things have been made new. Have you got some flowers blooming? Have you got some things growing that didn't grow? You may have some grass that's growing that you don't like. How much that it is growing. But this springtime, the newness of a springtime, you know, if I remember our kids, they all go through this, and we noticed it on a, probably this in Seth, but we've noticed it on all of them that when they're 1 year old, and they learn to walk and they're playing outside in the summertime, they love it. And then wintertime comes and they have to stay inside and they forget that they can play outside because we keep them in all winter long. And then all of a sudden, spring comes. And all of a sudden, you open the door and you let them out and you actually let them stay. And they can actually run around the yard. And it's like a, it's something they've never, they were like, they've completely forgot that they had fun the year before when they learned how to walk, when they were 1 year old, that they played in that yard. And over the wintertime, they forgot of the newness that comes in the spring when flowers bloom and the sun grows brighter and warmer and things begin to grow, and then they're so excited when you let them outside. It's like, I'm allowed to do this. A newness. I do. I make all things new. In the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the queen had made it always winter, but never Christmas. They had this concept of a springtime. They had a concept of a Christmas, but it never came. They had a concept of this newness, but generations in C.S. Lewis' book had come and gone for hundreds of years and lived in the winter time of life, never to experience spring. If you and I had never experienced spring, we all expect it. We expect it. We expect to see things come back to life in the springtime. We just expect it. But just imagine that all of us came to this place and we didn't know when it all died in the fall that it was going to come back to life. We didn't know that the seed that I had in my hand that was just a small little thing, that if I put it in the ground in the coolness of March or the coolness of April, that come May it would come, and come June I would have a little bit. If we didn't have a concept of that, we would look around us and we would wonder what kind of magic was going on. What kind of strange events were taking place here in this springtime when everything was, we thought it was dead. In the dark ages, they would watch the sun in the fall as the days would grow shorter, and they would recognize that, oh no, and they would tell their stories of gods who were angry and the earth coming to an end, and they would wait for that time of the year when they would know the sun was going to go to its lowest point in the sky, and they would have celebrations because they knew spring would come again. But if they had no concept of it, if we had no concept of it, we would wonder what's going on. And I believe that in the spiritual realm of what God can do, we have no concept of the reality of the newness that God can bring in our lives and in our church. We don't have any concept. Oh, we see a few things from our past. We see a few things in our lives that we know that He can do. But the reality is that like that song, in the bleak midwinter, frosty winds made moan. Earth stood hard as iron, water like the stone, that with no hope. We don't have a concept of God. He said in Corinthians, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. I believe that we live, we're well below our a comprehension of what God in reality can do for us. Now, Revelation is talking about things in the future that are beyond description, and he talks about many of them, and we'll talk a little bit about that. God has things in store for us, not just in the future, but now, that if we could say, Lord, help us to see and help us to be ready to receive the newness that You want to bring to our life. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and a river in the desert." You know, we all long for newness. We look around our old place and we think, man, I need to do something with this. We look at ourselves and say, man, I need to do something with this. We want newness. We want change. Well, we want that experience of things being different. And Romans 8 says that's what all creation does. It groans in itself, waiting for the newness that Christ is going to bring. It groans in its, and we ourselves, we look spiritually, we groan for a newness. Physically, we groan for a newness that God would reveal Himself in mighty ways. You know, you look at the answers in Genesis. They have their seven seas of creation. It started at creation. It went through corruption and confusion. Then Christ and the cross and consummation. We long for those changes to take place. I want to talk for a minute here about the mystery of Christ and the redemptive plan. Hebrews 12 and verse 24 says, "And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant." The mediator of a new covenant. That he came to mediate a new covenant. Now, to the Jews, this was something that they had a little bit of a concept of an understanding. But when Paul took this to the Gentiles, they were way far away from any understanding of how this could go. But Jesus Christ, He is the mediator of a new covenant. He told His disciples, "This is my blood of the New Testament." Here is a new redemptive plan. Here's a new redemptive plan. In the Old Testament, God had given them pictures of Christ in the sacrifices, in the ceremonies of the temple. But Christ came and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant." There's a new plan. There's a new thing that's going to be done. There's a new way to approach God. There's a new way to be in His presence. Jesus Christ is that one. He is the one. He said when Paul took the message of the resurrection to Athens, and he began to speak these strange things to them. They looked at Paul and they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest is." They had no concept of what he was saying. They couldn't understand when he brought the gospel, but it was a new doctrine. It was a new thing that we grow up in a Christian nation and a Christian culture, and we understand Jesus Christ came to save us, and we know that He died on the cross for our sins. Brother Webb came and said He goes to those unreached tribes, and He has to start back at the beginning because they have no concept of the newness, of the new way. That's what they called them, the early church, those of the way. It was a new way. It was a strange thing, but God did a strange thing when He sent His only Son to die for us for our sins. And we should glory in that we have a clear understanding of that. There are so many in this world that don't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, the redemptive plan of salvation. He said, "I will do a new thing." And one new thing that He did was He said, "I'm going to make a way for salvation." The new covenant, the new doctrine, the new way of living, that Jesus Christ is our means of salvation. The mystery of Christ. "Behold, I make all things new." Now, to the Jews in the Old Testament, the new thing to come was Christ. We see it. We look back at it. But we should never forget the greatness and the newness of it. You know, sometimes things become old place to us. They become common. We forget of how wonderfully unique the plan of salvation is. It just becomes something we've known about for a long time. You know, the mystery of Christ and the redemptive plan. I make all things new. Another way that he makes things new is the individual transformation that takes place in our lives. Colossians 1:27 says that the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory, that I could be a vessel that he can come and dwell in, that he can transform me into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:5 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." It's not anything that you can do for yourself, that Christ transforms us. It's not a newness that I bring. You know, sometimes we can try our own renovation plans. We can try to fix things in ourselves, but they're not lasting. They're not. They're incomplete. Oh, we may be able to cure ourselves of a few bad habits, but it does not anywhere bring us close to the righteousness of Christ. It doesn't bring us anywhere close to being worthy to approach the throne of God and being justified before Him. We can try to fix a few things in our lives, but we can try our own renovation plans. The rich young ruler, he came and he said, "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He had been on his own renovation plan. He said, "I keep all of those commandments from my youth." Jesus looked at him and said, "One thing you lack. One thing you lack." His renovation plan wasn't good enough to get him into heaven. And regardless of the goodness that we try to put forth in our life, we have only one hope only. It's through Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sin and transforms me into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Simon the sorcerer looked at Peter and said, "I want that. I want to be able to give people the Holy Ghost." Oh, he had been interested. He'd been hanging around the revival for a while and had even been studying a little bit and listening. But he had his own renovation plan in mind. He was going to do his own thing. And there is no other. He said, "I do. I make all things new." He will change us. He will change us and turn us into that new creature in Christ Jesus. After the pattern of Christ, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new man which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Put into that pattern of Jesus Christ. He transforms us. He transforms us. I think about Zacchaeus, thief, a traitor. But Jesus said, "I'm going to your house today." And he transformed him. He was never the same again. He was never the same. The Gadarian demoniac tore himself, cut himself, ran naked, terrorized the countryside. But when Jesus came, he was found clothed and sitting in his right mind, transformed by the work and the power of Jesus Christ. The woman of Samaria, who had been lost in her sin, had been lost in all of her affections and everywhere she would search to try to find fulfillment in her life. But when she met Jesus that day, her life was transformed. The individual transformation that can take place in our lives. Behold, I make all things new. You know, you might say to yourself, something's got to change. Something's got to change. Well, that change is going to come from the power of God. It's going to come from the blood of Jesus. When you were a sinner, you can remember the thought, may have not have been exactly these words, but the essence of it was, is something's got to change. I'm on my way to hell. I'm not right with God. Something's got to change. And so you came to the altar. You found your place at your bed, wherever it was, and you repented of your sins, and God did that work of transformation in your life to make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm glad that that transformation doesn't change, but we're changed into His image. From glory to glory, the Scripture says. From image to image, we're changed. And He's continuing to work in our lives. He's continuing to change us. He's continuing to work in us to make us more like Him. Behold, I make all things new. I'm glad He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm glad He took away that sin nature. I'm glad that He took away that sinful man, that man that was dead in his sins, and gave me a new life in Christ Jesus. I'm glad that He took that away, and He's continuing to sanctify me and change me into His image. Behold, I make all things new. It's not what we can do with ourselves. It's what He does. He said, you write it down. It's not what I do with myself. It's what He does with me. I make all things new. I don't make myself a Christian. He does. I don't make myself victorious as I walk in this Christian life. He does. It's the transforming work of Jesus Christ in my life. Behold, I make all things new. When Jesus was walking on this earth, He looked at His disciples. He asked them who He was, and they had this conversation. And He said there, when they recognized that He was Christ, the Son of the living God, He said, I will build my church. Now, this was something that was new. It was new. Now, to us, it's an old story, but it was new. I make all things new. An organism of the church. The body of Christ. The living body of Christ. We've been studying the gifts of the Spirit. And there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about we're all the body of Christ. We're all fitly framed together. We all are members in particular, but we're all joined together. We're part of His body. It's a living organism. It's a living being. It's the body of Christ Himself. We are His body. We can't have a complete, full understanding and grasp of it, but it's His body. It's a living organism. We, the church. I will build my church. Ephesians 2 and verse 15 says, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, joining us with Him in the body of Christ. Now that's something new. That's a new thing. When God says, behold, I do new things, He means it. The church itself, it talks about that as the body of Christ, that He would manifest Himself, that we would live with Him and He would live through us, that we are His hands and His feet. He lives in us and we live in Him. We abide in Him and He abides. It's just all together, one and the same. Us together with Him. In this new body, there's newness that we would have. Scripture talks about they would speak with new tongues. It talks about a new song. He hath put a new song in their mouth, even praise unto our God. This newness, the mystery of the church. Christ in the church, how can it be? It's a new thing. And I want to be a part of His church. I want to be there. It said the glory, Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9 said, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I know Haggai was talking about that actual temple of Zerubbabel that was built, that Christ would come into, and that would be the blessing, and that would be the glory that would make it more glorious than the former temple. But I believe that we can also look and say that Christ dwells with us. He dwells in this church. He dwells with His church today, and He dwells in this house. And oh, the glory of it! You know, in the In the wilderness, when God gave Moses the design for the tabernacle, they set about the work. He said, all of you that have a willing heart, come and give. And then there were other men that God appointed to do certain things to make it come about. And so they did all of this work to build this temple, to build this tabernacle. And then the day they set to dedicate that temple, it was just a tent. Canvases, sticks, metal. But on that day, they dedicated that temple. There in Exodus chapter, I believe, 35, the glory of the Lord came down and dwelt in that temple. In the book of Kings, 1 Kings, Solomon took all the preparation that David had put into preparing to build that temple. He set about the workers to build that temple. Again, stone, metal, and sticks. But on that day of dedication, the glory of the Lord came down to dwell in that temple. You know, they had to put a little bit of work into it. But what made it new was when the presence of Christ came to dwell in that temple. Oh, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He lives and dwells in us. He tabernacles with us. He lives in our midst. And oh, that we would have that newness. You know, we desire here at our church, we desire that God would be real in our midst. You know, He wants to do, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. He wants to do new things in our midst. Oh, not necessarily new things. We don't necessarily need Brother Jarvis up here with a t-shirt and flip-flops and a stool and a table. Do we? We don't necessarily need that. But we need the newness that God has in store for us. He has something new for us to experience. He has something new for First Pentecostal Church to experience in Him. He has something new for me individually as a part of His body to experience in Him. Oh, it's not going to take us out of the Word. It's not going to take us down the wrong road. But He wants to live and dwell and be real and be alive and be active and be powerful in our midst in new ways. That maybe we've, to some of us, it'll be new. To others of you, you may say, well, I've seen that before. A newness in our midst, that revival would come. To some of us, it's a concept that's unclear. What is revival? We've talked about the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of the Spirit in our midst. And for many of you, you've seen all of those 9 gifts of the Spirit and the other wonderful things that God does in His church. You've seen that in the past. But for a few of us, some of these concepts are unclear. Like this man who had never seen spring. There's a few of us that haven't seen it. Oh, that God would do a new thing in His church. Oh, it's in His plan from the foundations of the earth. Oh, but He would do that new thing now in our midst. That He would show Himself strong and be real in our midst. That He would manifest His Spirit and that all of us would have that clear concept of the new things that God can do in our midst. Of healings, of miracles, of words of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. And these kinds of things that God wants to do and He wants to show Himself strong in it, of salvation of souls, of baptism of the Holy Ghost, of sanctification, of deliverance from all kinds of things that the enemy would hold us in bondage with, that in this place and in this church, that God would be real to see those things happen. Oh, it's not new to Him, but it'll be new to us today. It'll be new to us here in 2012. It'll be a new thing in our midst. Oh, that God would do. He said, behold, I make all things new. And I'm ready for God to make my relationship with Him new. I'm ready for Him to make my relationship in the church with Him new. That it'll be different than it was. Oh, it's not necessarily a brand spanking new thing we've never seen before. But it's a newness. It's a new life. It's a new experience. It's a change. It's knowing that He's real and that He's in our midst. The newness. The newness of Christ's redemption plan. The newness of the transformation that God can make in our lives. The newness of Christ in the church dwelling among us. And then the newness that's spoken of here in Revelation chapter 22. The mystery of the future. That there's coming a day when things are going to be new. Revelation talks about a new name. We're going to have a new name. And it talks about a new name. He's going to have a new name that we've not known before. There's going to be all kinds of things that are new. We're going to have 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about a new body, a glorified body that's sown in weakness and raised in power. It's sown corruptible and it's raised incorruptible. It's sown in mortality, it's raised in immortality. He talks about a new body that we'll have in that future day when Christ Himself shall come. It talks about that they have a new song that no man has sung before. There's going to be a newness, a new heaven and a new earth. It talks about here in Revelation chapter 22, about some of the things that aren't there. Sometimes when you talk about how good things are, you talk about what they're not. And John talks about that there's no more tears. There's no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more crying. There's no more pain. The former things are passed away, and it's a new experience. It's a new thing that those things aren't going to be there. There's not going to be fear. There's not going to be unbelieving. There's not going to be abomination and murder and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. There's not going to be those things that defile and work abomination. There's not going to be. It's going to be a new place of where we live with Him in His glory, in His holiness, in His righteousness. It's a place that we can't begin to comprehend and have a concept of. John spoke there and talked about the gates. Talked about the foundations of that city, the breadth, the length, and the height of it. He talked about the river of life that's crystal clear that proceeds from the throne of God. It talked about that there's no more curse. It talked about there's no more temple because the Lamb's there. There's no more need for the sun because Christ is the light of the place. What a wonderful thing. The new place, the newness that God can bring. And He said, in the middle of this description, He that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." It's His power. He does it. He does it. It's nothing that we do for ourselves. Every one of these things I've already spoken about, it's nothing that we do for ourselves. It's all Him. He says, "I am the Alpha and Omega," in verse 6. "It is done," He said in verse 6. "I make all things new." It's done. "I said I'm going to do it." It's done. As soon as I said it, it's as good as done. Because I make all things new. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one that accomplishes it. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus Christ and the church and being with Him for all eternity. "Behold, I do a new thing." What new thing are you looking for tonight? Are you looking for a new plan to fix this and change that? Are you looking for a new way to make more money? A new way to take away the pain that you have in your leg? Are you looking for a new way to fix a marriage? Are you looking for a new way to... what is the new thing you're looking for? If you need something new, you know who makes all things new? God. You need something new at this altar, you can say, "Lord, I need You to do a new thing. I don't know how to fix it on my own. I don't know how to change it. I don't know how to fix the personal problems I have in my life. I don't know how to I pray often about my children. Lord, I don't know how to raise them. I don't know how to make them do right. I don't know how to do all. I need You to do it. I don't know how to do those things." But God said He'd make all things new. I make all things new. He's the one that does it. And I look to Him. In our church, how can we see that? Oh, we've got to work just like they did in the Old Testament. They built that temple. They worked on that tabernacle. But He had to come in the midst and make it new. He had to come to that place and meet with them and dwell among them. What do we need? We need Him to do a new thing in our midst. And we're looking for that new thing in the future. Our hope is on it. Our hope is on that new heaven and that new earth. Our hope is in that new kingdom of Christ that will come. Our hope is in Him. I was reading and studying, and one fella, he had a pretty good concept of this verse, but then he lost it at the end. He must have been back in the 1800s because he said, this isn't literal. I believe this is literal. A new heaven and a new earth that's coming down. A new heaven. I believe we have a hope that can keep us going. A hope that can keep us moving. A hope that'll keep us striving for the new things in God. Oh, we don't have to go searching. The world searches for new things. New things to fix but we have it all in Him. He is the answer. He is the answer. What is it that you need new in your life tonight? Lord, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that You make all things new. Lord, the changes that I needed in my life, Lord, they come from You. Lord, the newness that we need in our church, it comes from You. Lord, the newness that this world needs to set things right and to set things straight, it comes from the plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord, that Your words are true. And Lord, we can count on You. We can write it down and know, Lord, that You make all things new. Lord, I pray that You would move among us tonight. Lord, what needs to be new in our lives? Lord, what needs to change? Lord, we're looking for You to change it. We're looking for You to set it right. Lord, is it a habit that needs to change? Lord, You can make things new in our lives tonight. Lord, is it salvation of a soul? Lord, You can change and transform that soul tonight. Lord, is it to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Lord, You can give them that new experience tonight in You. Lord, we pray that You would work and move.